Welcome back into the show. Now's the time we take a look at the top stories trending nationally. There's a lot, dude. Was it Black Monday? Is that what we call this thing? Well, we're getting firings left and right. We saw this one last night, actually, with Lovie Smith fired as the Texans coach after just one season. I like Lovie Smith. I don't really know a terrible amount about his style, his philosophy, and all that, but I've always been a huge Lovie Smith fan, and especially the beard. That beard was something else. It was magnificent. The Texans fired Lovie after they finished 3-13-1 in his first season. That's a weird one to me. Unless, do they think they can make a play for one of these guys? Because one season, we saw it with Hackett, and that was bad. But I think everybody expected the Texans to be bad this year. The Broncos, you expected playoffs, and you were the furthest thing from it. The Texans, I don't think anybody would have argued with you at the beginning of the season, Angel, if you would have said, I don't think the Texans are going to win much more in like 4 or 5 games. No, they won 3. That's what was to be expected. So I was kind of shocked by this, unless Houston thinks they can make a push for a Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn type guy.
And I don't think Houston is a complete undesirable job. I think you're going to have an opportunity. You know, all the Deshaun Watson stuff, all of that is gone now. You can move on from it. You're finally past it.
Wash it clean.
Whatever coach you get, you say, hey, you can get whatever quarterback you want in the draft because we have the number 2 pick. You want your guy, we can get your guy.
Yeah, and the team in front of you is not going to be picking a quarterback, so you have your options there, I suppose. The Cardinals, they've joined in. They fired Cliff Kingsbury 10 months after signing him to a contract extension. That sounds like a Broncos-type move, I'll be real honest with you. Also, the GM is stepping down. That's another one, Angel, that makes sense. If you're Sean Payton, does he want to be the GM/head coach? Because that just all opened up for you.
And with Kyler Murray being out for the majority of next season, you go there, maybe go get a free agent quarterback that you like, Derek Carr.
Maybe. What about Jameis Winston, too? I mean, you know Sean Payton likes Jameis Winston.
Or Jimmy G might be out there as well.
Jimmy G? It's just a lot, man. That's a lot. I kind of expected it with Kingsbury. It's just weird because they just signed him to the contract extension.
No, I think he's still really a fairly good coach. It feels like him and Kyler's relationship really started to drift apart after the first year.
Yeah, it really did. That contract at the beginning of the season when it had the little amendment in there about watching film and all that. We knew that was bad at the time, and it probably turned out to be a little bit worse than we even thought. Meanwhile, the opposite, Bill Belichick set to return for his 24th season as the Patriots head coach. I just envy that so much. I'm not talking about Bill in particular, but just the ability to have a coach that you believe in for 24 seasons coming up.
Second time they haven't made the playoffs without Brady.
I mean, Brady's definitely winning the whole Belichick-Brady thing. Brady's been to the playoffs every time, and he obviously won a Super Bowl. So Brady's totally winning that right now. I think they're both Hall of Fame guys, obviously. They're both Hall of Fame guys, but yeah, Brady's winning that one. They got a big one Monday night. And that could determine a lot of things, too. If the Bucks beat the Cowboys, is that enough for Jerry Jones to go, later, McCarthy, Sean Payton, welcome to the Cowboys? And if I'm Sean Payton, I'm also looking at that situation going, okay, I might not have as much power, but I got a lot of respect.
And you have a team.
And I got
already
a team that's... I mean, if you were to make a bet today that the Cowboys would be a playoff team next year, with or without Sean Payton, you'd probably bet on them to be a playoff team. So, if you're Peyton, you're 59, what do you got, 10 years left coaching? Wherever you go might be your final stop. And again, I'm not talking, I know Tanner's like, 59's not that old. It's not, but when you restart, when you're restarting at an organization, it does seem a little bit more unique. Now, I'm not writing him off because he's 59. I'm throwing out the fact that, all right, you're probably going to coach 5 to 10 years in this league. Do you want it to be tied to Russell Wilson? Because that's what it is right now. That doesn't mean they can't get out of the contract in a year or two with Russ. It's going to hurt. It's going to mess with the salary cap. It's going to keep you from signing players that you want eventually. But that's why that move scares me if I'm Sean Payton.
No, legacy is a big thing. And, you know, similar to how Russ's legacy will end or, you know, wrap up in Denver, Sean Payton will wrap his up in Denver. And that could be a good thing, or it could be a, whoa, he came back and it was awful.
Yeah, and it... With Russ, I'll be real honest with you. Listen, I'm not trying to be like a Broncos gloom and doom guy and say that yesterday was a feel-good thing. I like it. But, I mean, dude, it could be 50-50. Russ could turn this around and be really good again. Or he might just do exactly what he did this year. Because the body of work tells us this year that Russ really is an average to below average quarterback. And if that happens, you're bad next year.
And we keep trying to say, okay, maybe it wasn't Russ. It was all Hackett's fault. Hackett wasn't calling the plays.
Toward the end.
Towards the end, he wasn't.
Middle of the road, he wasn't. No,
but even then, he had Rosberg and Alton in his ears telling him what to do. So I find it hard to say, oh, all of Russ's issues were Hackett's fault.
I think there's a mix because, again, what you see in that first half for the most part against Kansas City, the quick scoring drive by the Broncos was really good, but they didn't do much after that.
It was a lot of momentum in that Chiefs game.
Yeah, and then in this last game against the Chargers, there was a lot of bad stuff going on until Russ cooked a little bit, threw it deep, and then boom, it's like something opened up. I just actually think that mentally, Russ needs to be a hero for a second, and then it's kind of like, oh, okay, now I can just see everything perfectly. I just need to go be a superhero like he was when he scrambled out to his left and hurled it downfield to Jerry Jeudy. Then he settled down and he looked really good. So the play calling it did have a different feel the last 2 weeks with Justin Outen. But Rosberg, if he believed that Outen should have been the guy, so much could he have not begged? Hackett loved Outen. He hired him. If it was that obvious, because I was against the Outen thing too, because he wasn't a play caller in Green Bay. He was a tight ends coach. Just sometimes things just click for a second or two, and you don't know how long. Listen, we're all very much waiting for Brock Purdy to fail, aren't we? Like, he's looked pretty good. Pretty good.
May not be waiting for it, but we're anticipating. You're going to have a rookie game.
So why is it that we can all anticipate him to, at some point, what is he on, five starts now?
Four or six.
Yeah, and he's been good in every one of them. We all kind of anticipate, as you said, a falling at some point. So let's be fair here. Rosberg had two games, a totally different scheme, or I don't know about scheme, but just different feel. And sometimes interim coaches come in and do stuff like that. There is that negative part of me that's just trying to back everybody down a little bit and say, yeah, but it was the Chargers. Yeah, but it was the Chiefs who were really good, but you also played them good the last time around, too. I didn't see anything in the last 2 weeks where I just obviously go, wow, Russell Wilson, night and day difference. I saw four or five performances this year under Hackett that were pretty decent.
Yeah, and if Hackett was the cloud hanging over Russell's head and that it went away the last couple of weeks, then
does that make you feel worse about Greg Penner? Because why didn't you pull the trigger earlier then?
Right.
And so this whole idea that the ownership is set, they know what they're doing, Rosberg might have actually got a fair shake at this thing if they would have fired Hackett weeks ago. But instead, you fire him after Christmas with two games. Here's my thing on interim coaches. If you really believe they might have something. Because we knew the Broncos weren't going anywhere. Even in that Jacksonville win. We really kind of knew that. You fire the guy if that was going to be the decision all along, then move on from him and give your interim coach a real shot. Other than that, the last 2 weeks, there's part of me that's like, why not just ride it out then?
Well, like what the Raiders did last year with Bisaccia.
Yes! Give him a real shot. And he damn near earned it.
He's a coordinator now, but he will be a head coach candidate at some point.
People were making a strong case for him. They certainly were.
And you see it a lot with teams. When the interim coach does come in, the team kind of loosens up a little bit and they can just play relaxed.
Yes.
And it felt like the Broncos said, all right, our head coach is gone. We just got to play out our seasons. Let's just go have fun and play some football.
Kind of like what different situation with the Lions yesterday or last night.
Lions or the Colts this year in the first couple of games was Saturday.
Sometimes when there's nothing to play for and you do a little quick recharge or a refreshing of the organization, it mentally helps people out because it's almost like you resetted the last two games. It's like you did a reset and it's, you're not at the tail end of this horrible Hackett regime. You fired him and now you're resetting with this Rosberg thing where everybody kind of gets a chance to reprove who they are. Don't you think Jerry Jeudy took that seriously? The last 2 weeks especially, but really the last four or five, Jerry Jeudy has become a pretty good player. And I think that that is an exciting thing. Listen, I'm not saying that the Broncos are doomed, that it's not an attractive job at all. I hope they can lure, you can get a guy like, I do, I hope a Sean Payton and a Jim Harbaugh look at this place and go, yeah, I want to go there and try to revive this thing. My thing with Sean Payton is flat out, I just don't think it's realistic. And I would like to see George Payton with some more picks, especially once one in the first round. All right, how about this story, Angel? Quay Walker ejected for shoving Lions medical staffer last night, which was a big thing for the game. Yeah. Not just the X's and O's of it, but that was a big thing for the game. You lose one of your guys, a rookie linebacker, but he was playing, obviously, a lot of meaningful downs in for the Packers. The trainer gets in front of him to try to help out a player who was down. DeAndre Swift was down on the field. The trainer kind of, with his left hand, just slightly puts his hand there to kind of break into where Quay Walker was so he can look at the player. And Walker shoves him from behind. He's moving you out of the way so he can get to the player. I mean, if there's never a good time to push somebody on the medical staff.
Well, there's no
but
reason.
But especially now, after
no
what we saw.
There's no reason to touch them at all.
No,
unless
there's
they are
zero.
Immediately helping you, there's no reason to do that. If a player goes down, back away. That's
you just shoved a dude that's half your size that's there for medical purposes only.
I didn't like that the trainer kind of turned around quick
too.
And got back
but then
up.
Then
like,
who was the other player for the Packers that pushed him back? Like, Walker pushes him. The trainer turns around like, dude, what the hell? And then the other guy like gets up in his face and chest bumps. Like, chest pushes him. Like, what are you guys
they're
doing?
They're wearing Detroit colors, but they're not a part of the team. What are
yeah.
you doing?
No. And again, like you said, there's never a good time to do this. But after everything that we just saw with the first responders being able to come out and help out DeMar Hamlin, maybe saved his life or did save his life, maybe prolonged his career. I don't know about all that yet. But because of the way they acted so quickly, we should know. Get the hell. If a player is down on the field, get the hell out of the way. Don't be doing snow angels next to the guy. Don't be standing over him. Don't be in the way. If a player goes down and you're not there for any other reason other than the signal help to come in, get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, and it's an emotional thing. You're in the game. You're in the heat of the moment. You see your player, your brother, your teammate go down. You want to go help him out. Hey, are you all right? And just, no, you back away. Let the trainers deal with it. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Don't shove them.
Yeah, it was awful. Final story here. Brandon Staley. He did offer up, you know, the reasons why he stuck with his starters for as long as he did. And he said these aren't easy decisions. They're not easy decisions. And hindsight is perfect for everybody on the outside. But these games are not easy to manage. They're not because you don't have that many players. And we did it to the best of our ability. Yeah, but your stars, like two or three of your stars, you can't put out? Like, I'm not running the ball with Austin Eckler. Mike Williams ends up getting hurt, back injury. Sounds like back spasms. But there's like three or four guys. You can't make do without three or four guys. Because without Justin Herbert, you don't stand a chance to win this weekend. Without Austin Eckler, you really don't stand that much of a chance to win. And then without Mike Williams, that's another one. So it's just, I can see why coaches say I want to play my starters to keep the momentum and stuff, but this is different than the preseason and Nathaniel Hackett. This is, you've already locked up your spot. You if Herbert goes down for or any of these guys, Mike Williams, you severely impact your chance to win. I actually was okay with going in the first half.
Yeah,
I would have been fine with that.
They knew their playoff fate before that game started. They were locked in at the 5 seed. I would have played my starters for maybe a quarter and a half.
Maybe a quarter, yeah.
Depending on, obviously the Broncos were playing, were keeping it a close game, so that might have influenced it. Say, you don't want your morale to go down by losing this kind of close game, but you ultimately lost. So what does that do for your morale? Your star wide receiver is possibly hurt, maybe out. You know, there's other nicks and bruises around throughout the team that are going to affect you going into the next week. It's not a really smart decision.
No, and it does sound like Williams is going to play, but it just, again, it's another thing against Brandon Staley. The Chargers wouldn't consider moving on from him if they lose this weekend, right?
If they lose?
Yeah.
I think they would very much consider.
You think they'd fire him, and then there you go. There's another
LA job.
I don't
know why, because it's kind of been that story all year for the Chargers that Staley is already on his way out already, but you go to the playoffs, it's hard to get rid of a coach.
He didn't. They could have gone last year, and that whole ending was so weird, remember? But again, here you are again. Final game of the season, and you have questionable decision-making by your head coach. The Raiders game, if they both tie, they get into the playoffs. And it seemed like the Raiders were content to let the clock kind of go down and not get too crazy. But the Chargers pushed. He called a timeout. Staley called a timeout. And the Raiders, they can tell you all they want, but I saw the look on all their faces watching that game last year. They all looked at each other like, why did he just call timeout? All right, to hell with it. Let's go win this game. That changed it. I will go to my grave believing that that timeout by Staley changed how the Raiders were going to manage the game, and I think that both teams would have settled for the tie, and both teams would have been in the playoffs. By calling that timeout, you pause the Raiders thinking, and they said, fine, to hell with it. We are going to go win this game. And that's what happened. So I just think it's such a weird situation with Staley, and it has been for a while. And he's another one. So these jobs are going to be opening up left and right, I think. And again, if the Chargers win this weekend and the Cowboys win on Monday, maybe that's enough for those two jobs to stand pat. But, dude, we heard all year that the Mike McCarthy thing and Jerry Jones, like that, that's just not what Jones wants. It's working somehow, but they got smoked yesterday. And I bet you, you know, Jones is wondering, is this what's going to happen on Monday? And if this is the if that's the case, bye-bye.
They're 0-2 against Tampa Bay in their last 2 minutes.
Yeah, wasn't that the first game of the season?
Both
Tampa
years,
Bay yeah. And Dallas, too. And Tampa Bay looked like a world beater, and Dallas looked awful, and Dak ends up going out in that game. So, and this could be a huge opportunity for the Buccaneers. I'll tell you what, if the Bucs lose, is there any discussion about their situation, a head coach with Todd?
Oh yeah, I think if the Bucs lose, that the whole team will get blown up. Brady will be gone. Then you'll get a new coach, and you'll move on from there.
So yeah, even though you make it to the playoffs, doesn't mean you're safe. So there's still a lot of scenarios right now that I think are going to contend with the Broncos' hopes to get Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, and all that, because these teams are going to have picks that they can give up. Yeah, it's probably going to be some combination of picks, money, maybe a player if you're the Saints. Tanner's point earlier saying, well, would they just take money? They're all billionaires, Angel. They don't need the money.
It has to be a trade.
It has to be something good. So first off, legally, it has to be. Second off, the money doesn't matter. Because the problem with that, Angel, is now you're just letting the richest owners. You're turning it into baseball. And Tanner even brought that up. This is the NFL. We don't want what baseball does.
Coaches trying to reset the market on salary?
I don't think so.
I think they're just grateful to get a job.
Yeah, I think with this, you have to be careful. Because if you just get to the point and say, well, Rob Walton has all the money in the world and can do whatever, well, that's why they put a salary cap in place at the beginning. They'll start doing this with coaches. If Walton goes out and is going to give Sean Payton $20 million and then he trades the first round pick and the Saints are like, you know what, we don't want your pick though because it's 32nd or 31 or 30 or 29. We want somebody else's. Okay, well, we'll sweeten the deal and we'll throw in money. Can they add money to that to the Saints? Can they add cash? Probably can if it's still a first round pick. So then you go, all right, now the richest owners in the world can just go throw their money around. And that becomes baseball. That does turn into more baseball. So I would imagine if the Broncos trade their first-round pick and the Saints say no, all right, fine, we'll give you $1 billion. I don't know. He's worth 40 of them. We'll give you $1 billion. Then I'm going to go, the NFL is going to come in at some point and say, all right, from now on, there's a salary cap for coaches. And then the other thing on that, Angel, is that starts to scare me. Is you got an ownership group that just thinks money will solve everything, and that's just not the case, folks. It's not. Look at all these teams that pay coaches, or that look what happened to Gruden. They paid him a lot of money. That didn't last too long, did it? They gave him a 10-year deal. These teams are giving money, you know, at the wazoo to these quarterbacks, and some work out and some don't. And Tom Brady's the main guy we look at and go, that's a guy that took less to build teams around him. These other teams, we have yet to really see how that's going to work out. Will the Chiefs win a Super Bowl? Maybe this year. Will they win it? Yeah, you know, they gave Mahomes his money, but then you lost Tyreek Hill, and again, the season turned out to be pretty damn good without Tyreek. So my point is, I don't want to get to this point where it's just the ownership group is just throwing money around. They think that solves everything. That's what they did with Russ. They got the trade, and that wasn't on them. That was George Payton throwing that around. And then they threw the money around. They re-signed this guy. Payton re-signed him. They approved it before we ever saw Russell Wilson play a down in Denver. So you are absolutely, when you tell me that the ownership group is sturdy and we are finally set here, yeah, you have an ownership group. But right now what they've shown me is that they're just throwing money around.
They've only been in place for less than 12 months.
Right. And I get it. Money is powerful. But I've also seen money screw things up a lot, man. I remember the dream team that was the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember Vince Young saying this is the dream team? They threw so much money for 1 year at this team with all these superstars, and they didn't do anything with it. We've seen this stuff happen. So, I mean, 970 texting in. If the Broncos can spend 400,000 on a lawn? Was that what it was for the upgrade for the field? I don't know. A good coach is worth millions. I just want to get to the point where I'm just throwing billions at it. Maybe even a billion. I mean, what is it going to take?
Well, and also, if you do make the trade for Payton, you're going to have to sign him to an extension.
Correct.
How long is that extension?
Yeah.
Do you give him 10 years?
More than half of it's with Russ, probably.
Right.
Again, the Sean Payton move seems like you're really reaching. Jim Harbaugh, you don't have to give up anything but money. You want to throw money around? Great. But don't throw around your draft picks, too.
I think with Harbaugh, money and a little bit of power.
A little bit of power. There you go. George Payton. There's no reason for George Payton to be here anymore. 27 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Short break coming up. Let's take a look at what the Nuggets have tonight. Anthony Davis, there he is, the brow. Is he going to make his return tonight? Is he coming back against the Nuggets in Denver? We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Hey, tell you what, if you've been in Northern Colorado for even a short amount of time, chances are you or someone you know has been affected by Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They do amazing work. They're celebrating over 52 years of being specialists in the medicine of motion, the region's only team of orthopedic subspecialists as well. Check them out at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. You want to chime in on our poll question of the day? Do you think Russ, better days are ahead for Russell Wilson? And that's kind of the hope. That's not just the hope. That's the plan. That is the plan going forward, is that Russell Wilson is going to be better. And whoever the head coach is has to be able to orchestrate an offense, a scheme that's going to get the best out of Russell Wilson. And to me, I think this is why the draft pick is valuable to me at whatever that's going to be, you know, high 20s, whatever, is you need a tackle. And, just looking around, there are several right tackles that will be in the late first round, early second round spot, which is where you would want to draft one of those guys. And you have to start building up on this offensive line. Was he the most sacked quarterback this year? Or him and Justin Fields were close. That is something that has to be addressed. And it's going to get harder to do that. The more draft picks you throw away, because you already don't have your own first-round pick. You got Miami's, that was San Francisco's. And you got to make something of that. And is Sean Payton the guy? Does that guy come in and change everything? I'm not so sure. I just don't like... It's like I said about Russ. If it's a free agent signing, like the way the Broncos got Peyton Manning, okay, fine. You're just paying a guy. But with Russ, you're trading a lot, and then you're paying a guy. That's the same thing with Sean Payton. Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn, all these guys are just guys you can sign up, pay a good amount to, whatever. You're not also giving up draft capital and or a player too.
Yeah, and when you have a lack of draft picks, your only, you know, ability to build up your team is through free agency, and you have to make yourself an attractive team for free agents. And that includes who is your head coach,
yeah.
Who is your quarterback, who is your GM, what kind of moves do they make?
Russell Wilson was sacked 55 times, tied with Justin Fields, 55. They were the worst. And so that's got to be priority to me. Obviously, finding a coach is priority number one. Priority number two is fixing the offensive line. And I think it's going to get harder to fix the offensive line if you remove a draft pick. And am I giving up just a number one or a first rounder? Is that it? Or am I giving up even more than that? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Denver Nuggets going back at it tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wow,
see this
city,
team
baby.
Back. Yeah. And the Lakers are trying to turn this around. Now, Anthony Davis, I don't see him coming back tonight. He missed his 12th straight game on Saturday when they beat the Kings 136-134. Will he come back? I don't know if it's going to happen against the Nuggets tonight.
Yeah, I've been wondering this question about the Nuggets. Is Aaron Gordon breaking the rims?
It probably. They had to do that again.
Yeah. So against the Cavs the other
night,
another brief delay, not as long as the other one, but they had to fix the rims again.
Is Gordon do? Is he tearing them
down? I love
that
he does it, but let's not delay the game anymore.
Oh my goodness!
Just be a little softer on the slam dunk.
What is it with our rims? Is it Aaron?
It's the altitude.
It's got to be. Well, they got this one figured out a lot faster.
Yes.
I mean,
they got practice now.
It wasn't 26 minutes like last time.
They're running drills in their off days now.
What a weird thing. That would suck to be those repair guys, though, because everybody's paying it. Now, especially that it's happening, you know, it's the second time, fans are going to be, you're like, on the clock. You got to get up there. And then they're going to do that over-enthusiastic cheer, which is not really like a positive one. It's like, oh, you got it done, you know, before 26 minutes. Good for you. But I don't think Davis is going to be back tonight against the Nuggets. Nuggets rocking and rolling. See if they can keep that momentum going. And this, again, we're talking about the Broncos and what the hope is there. I mean, you have a team. You have two teams right in front of you with the Abs as well that have real championship aspirations here, championship goals, where I think the Nuggets, you know, save for that Timberwolves game on the back-to-back, man, they have been playing some of their best basketball. And the Lakers are trying to make a push for this thing, though. Although LeBron, I think he wants moves to be made. I mean, he's like, you guys know what needs to be happening. Are the Lakers going to make, they're better than they were to start the season, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and the Lakers definitely have the Nuggets number the last couple of meetups.
Yeah, the Lakers right now are 19-21. They're 11th in the West, so they wouldn't be in that play-in situation yet. But it's, again, this is, we got a lot of season still to go. We're just about at the halfway point, essentially. So if the Lakers want to start making that push, they're going to have to do it now. Meanwhile, for the Nuggets, teams like the Grizzlies, they get a chance to look at this and say, all right, let's make the month of January the month we start pulling away. Because we had Brendan Vogt on the show on Thursday, and he even said, he's like, nobody in the NBA has really started to assert themselves as that top dog and pulled away. Even in the Eastern Conference, Boston, Brooklyn, although with KD now, that's a tough one for them. Milwaukee's right there. Cleveland's right there. Philly's right there. Nobody is that far ahead. I think Boston's like just five games ahead of the Pacers, and the Pacers are in sixth place. Meanwhile, in the West, same kind of situation. The Nuggets are just 6.5 games above the Clippers. You're wanting to start pulling away in these next few weeks and asserting yourself as the top dog in the Western Conference. 38 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on, Joe. We'll jump out real quick. We got the Natty tonight. Georgia and TCU going at it. Georgia, 12.5-point favorites. Does TCU have any magic left? We'll talk about that next. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Big one tonight. National championship game. Man, after all the craziness that's been the NFL season in the end, I mean, it's football. I'll be watching it, but it's not that exciting for me, I guess, to see if Georgia can do it again. Stetson Bennett is the most miraculous story ever. He just seems like a dude that comes up with some pretty big moments in college football, but I don't think he's an NFL guy.
I don't think he is either, but some team will give him a Brock Purdy chance.
He'll get something. He'll be in the league,
definitely,
won't he? But it was a weird story with him last year because he didn't know if he was coming back. And he even, wasn't he like on Good Morning America? And he seemed like maybe he partied a little too hard the night before or was still kind of in that party mode.
Probably.
Said some interesting things like, we'll see what the organization does. We'll see what they do. I'll be playing football next year. It just depends on where. And I remember watching clips of that interview like, who's this guy? Who's this guy acting like it's an NFL team he's coming back to? He came back to it, and here they are. They are 12.5-point favorites against TCU. Is the magic run out tonight for TCU?
I don't know. It feels like TCU has some magic. Stetson Bennett has his own magic. This is the largest spread for a championship game in the playoff era. The second largest was Alabama-Ohio State at 9.
Mm.
So, yeesh. Big spread, a lot of money on Georgia, a lot of the everyone expects Georgia to just roll in this game, but TCU has shown they are not going to get rolled over easily.
I picked against TCU like the last five games that I've paid attention to with them. And last week I was, now it's 13 according to ESPN. Last week I was like, yeah, Georgia's going to roll this thing. But now that we're here, day of, I mean, if TCU can make this thing into, I mean, they jumped out the gates against Michigan. That was the thing with them. They jumped out quickly. I think they were up like two touchdowns at the end of the first quarter, and Michigan kind of balanced everything back out, losing 51-45. TCU can score. They can keep up and track in a track meet type of situation. So, I mean, they've got Quentin Johnson. I mean, he had almost 200 yards receiving against the Wolverines. So, I don't know, man. There's part of me that keeps wanting to lean in. And again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know everything there is to know about TCU and Georgia tonight. But if I'm looking at this game thinking, man, why not? It's a weird time. It's the college football playoffs. I mean, you played last weekend, but you're so separated from that regular season. There's so many weeks in between. That does that open it up and lend itself more to a TCU-type team, or does that help the teams that know exactly who they are and have been, you know, obviously won it last year and have been in this mode, does that help Georgia more? That's why I think it's so crazy at the end of the college season when you do have a couple of weeks in between. But Max Duggan, I mean, you got a good running back there for TCU. I'm trying to talk myself into taking TCU tonight to win, not just to cover, but to win this thing.
No, I think if TCU wants to win, they have to keep it close. They have to be able to make big plays in the running game or the passing game, whichever. I think if you can get a couple turnovers on that from the Georgia offense, I think you can get Stetson Bennett just one or two mistakes in this game. I think you have a real good shot at upsetting the Bulldogs.
Mm, so you're leaning? Are you leaning that way?
My gut is telling me Georgia. My heart is telling me TCU. So I'm going to go with my brain. And take.
Gut, heart, brain.
Yep. They're all working together.
I love them.
They may not come up with an answer, but they're discussing it.
My gut's telling me Georgia. My heart's telling me TCU. And my brain is telling me to watch something else.
My brain wants me to watch the Nuggets tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Regular season basketball, Nuggets, Lakers, or the national championship game?
It's tough. Like, I'm a college football guy at heart, and of course I love college football. It's the last college football game until late August, early September, so kind of embrace it, enjoy it, but my team's not in it, so it's hard for me to pick either one to root for. So I don't want Georgia to win because I don't want them to repeat, because that would take Bama's sole possession away of that.
Yeah.
I like TCU. They're the underdog. They're the heartfelt America's team kind of story. Doubted all year, and here they are.
Yeah, and here's something to help you. Game's at 5:30. Nuggets play at 7.
Well, I mean, it starts at 5:30, kickoff around 6.
So, yeah, this game will go well past what the Nuggets-Lakers do. But I want to, like...
I hope it's a good game.
I do, too. If it's tell you what, I'll watch the first hour And if it's garbage and Georgia's up 21-3, then I'm shutting her down. And I'll shift it on over and we'll watch the Nuggets beat the Lakers.
Well, as good as the semifinal games were last week, you've got to think they're still left in the tank for both of these teams.
I actually do think it'll be a good game. Nuggets, though, look at this on the other side. Nuggets are 11.5-point favorites tonight against the Lakers.
That's a lot.
That's insane to me.
They haven't really beat any team that bad.
I don't like that spread. The over-under's 239. I'd be more apt to go that route than take the Nuggets minus 11.5. Any team you go up against minus 11.5
is tough. Davis being possibly out?
He'll definitely be out, but like, is there another injury for the Lakers that we don't know about? Are they that far apart from the Nuggets at this stage?
Well, I think the Nuggets have a lot of momentum in the last couple of weeks.
LeBron's listed as day-to-day.
He's playing.
Lonnie Walker is out. Troy Brown's out. Austin Reeves is out. No, Troy Brown is day-to-day. Russell Westbrook's day-to-day. There you go. I don't know. I'm probably going to go back and forth, but more of my attention will be on the final college football game of the season. So we'll go that route. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling, man, they'll help you guys out. Whether, maybe your heater has been a little finicky the last couple of weeks with this crazy weather and such. Now's the time to call Lemons Heating and Cooling. HVAC contractor in Greeley. Free estimates are available, too. Maybe you need a brand new system. Maybe you need a brand new air conditioning system. And I know it's January 9th, but, now's the time to plan that. You're months away from the weather changing up, and you want to make sure that AC unit is good to go. You overworked it last summer, and they'll help you out with a free estimate. So that's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. Also, you can call 970-567-0798. I mean, we just talked about the San Francisco 49ers. With a realistic shot to win the Super Bowl with their third guy. With Brock Purdy, the NFL playoff bracket is certainly interesting, and the Niners have just as good a shot as anybody to win the Super Bowl. And if you do that with Purdy and he plays well, I mean, you're going to be able to use some of these quarterbacks as capital for other things. I don't know. Can this guy earn his job? Can this guy earn his keep and be the guy going forward? We got the Lonster on the First Advantage Hotline. Lonster, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. What is on your mind?
You know what? I got the way to beat both of the games tonight. I'm going to be listening to both of them tonight.
Oh, yeah. You'll be tuning in and then watching one of them. The best of both worlds, right?
Yep, that's it, man. Just get the radio set up on the Nuggets game and then get the other one set up for the national championship. And I'm good to go.
Who you got tonight in the national championship game?
You know what? I got to go with Georgia.
You're going to go? Does Georgia cover the 13-point spread? Do they win by more than 13?
I think it's going to be a little close tonight.
Okay.
I really do.
Close game tonight. I like it. We'll see if that pans out. Here, poll question for you, Lonster. Do you think better days are ahead for Russell Wilson as the Broncos quarterback?
You know what? Get a good coaching staff in here. I'm going to say yes.
It feels like it. It feels like it the last couple of games. And I know I've kind of been a downer on the Broncos today, but I do feel like the Russ thing, the Judy thing, there are some positives that you can look at and go, all right, we're better than 5 wins next year.
They really were. I mean, they proved it to me there yesterday and then the week before that, you know what, this is what they need is somebody in here that can get this team going here a little bit.
Do you have any choices as for head coach? Or Sean Payton, stick with Rosberg, who had gave you a 2-game sample size, Jim Harbaugh, who are you rolling with?
You know what? I don't think I can pick Payton. I mean, I think he wants way too much on this one. I really do.
He's going to get a lot of money somewhere.
Yeah. You know what? I'd kind of like to see Rosberg maybe try it and see what
really?
Happens.
Really? Okay. All right. Rosberg. I'll put up a poll question with all of the candidates at some point. We'll see how far that goes. Lawrence, what's for lunch today, man?
But you know what? If that don't work, I'd say either Gwynn or Harbaugh. I think one of those two would
Dan
be
Quinn?
Pretty good there.
Dan Quinn. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are the top three kind of candidates. All right. What are you eating right now, my friend?
Oh, man, I had a bowl of chicken noodle soup, homemade, and some crackers and some cherry tomatoes and some hot sauce to go with it.
Oh, we didn't get your theme. We didn't get your... There it is. Okay. Okay. we got it, but one more time, Lonster. One more time.
Okay. All right. Tape two. Here we go.
Well, you know what? A bowl of what? Go on.
Okay. A bowl of chicken noodle soup, homemade... crackers and cherry tomatoes, and then the hot sauce in the noodle soup.
Man, you are a noodle soup kind of guy, Lonster. You really are.
But, well, you know, this time of year, any kind of soup sounds pretty good about this time.
Certainly does. Lonster, appreciate the call, my friend.
Hey, you too, and have a good afternoon.
Beginner's Luck said, how would Jerry do as GM? Rosberg. I don't know, man. I don't know. Has he done anything like that? He can manage in-game and stuff, but I do get where you're coming from, where you like the idea of keeping Rosberg, like, involved in your program, in your organization, but I don't know. I don't like hire. I mean, I guess that depends. Is Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, whoever coming in, going to be the real GM? And then you have Rosberg as kind of the for show one. I don't know. That's interesting. I get where you're going with it, though. All right, final hour coming up next. More on the Denver Broncos. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.